The next case is number 024248, Yatunde Balogun against John Ashcroft. Mr. Have I pronounced correctly, Mwangi?
Mr. Mwangi, Your Honor.
Mwangi, thank you. You may proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good morning. May it please the court. First, I'd like to apologize and beg the court's indulgence for having gotten ahead of myself in the brief and mixed up the statement of facts and the argument, as my opponent pointed out. And I beg the court not to strike the statement of facts because it's argumentative. This is what happens in a case like this, which evokes your emotions, and it's a case in which my client fears being forced to return to Nigeria, where she fears that her relatives will subject her to a procedure that is abominable and one which her family adheres to because her family believes that it maintains honor and that married women bring shame to the family if they don't subject or they don't submit to FGM.
She's asking for asylum from her family then.
That is correct, Your Honor. The family put her under pressure when she became married in April of 1999. She fled them and went to an area where her husband was from. She was forced to flee that area because there was riots and civil unrest, came back to where her family was, and later that year in September she and her husband left and came to the United States. And then they left the United States again and went to London to try to persuade her father to convince the family not to force her to undergo this terrible procedure. And the father said, no, you have to go through it because your ancestors, your grandmothers, everybody has been through it, and you too should submit to this. On her way back into the United States, she was stopped at O'Hare. She panicked, and because she had been in the United States, she had worked without authorization, she concealed that fact from the authorities. One thing leads to another, and they tried to turn her back to deport her, and then she says she has a fear of returning to Nigeria and expresses that fear credibly. And the asylum office decides that, yes, you've met the standard, will permit you to present an asylum application to the immigration judge. The hearing is held, and the immigration judge finds that she's not credible based upon the fact that when she presented at O'Hare, she did not state that fear immediately. She was equivocal about it, but in her testimony she explained, I was afraid. Yes, I may have said the things that I said, but this is something that I didn't talk about to anybody throughout my life because it's very private.
But those are things that the immigration judge heard, and I think the judge was concerned about evidentiary gaps of the following sort. First of all, there was no testimony suggesting that in her group or her region, married women are the particular focus of this procedure. Lots of the other evidence from the State Department actually indicates that it's children and women just prior to marriage who are subjected to it. She also doesn't explain to the judge's satisfaction how, as Judge Mannion pointed out, how it's anything other than familial pressure. She's asked at one point, well, could you live someplace else in the country? And she says, they'll come get me. But that somehow you need some link to what the government of Nigeria is doing, because private acts of violence are not the kinds of things that are taken into account. So the judge finds the record on this, not to mention the fact that the timing is rather late in the day. I don't think it's until she's at the DuPage County Jail that she chooses to bring this up, and it's a factor. And on substantial evidence review, it's the question for us is whether those kinds of concerns are enough to uphold the IJ's opinion.
Your Honor, you raise questions that I believe are legitimate questions to raise, and I believe that she deals with them sufficiently during her testimony, and I believe that...
But what do we have, for instance, on the married woman aspect? That's a rather unusual twist on the FGM practices and cases, at least that we've seen in country reports before and in other news coverage of this sort of thing. It's the kind of thing that one would like to see evidence because, among other things, it would explain why the 18-year-old sister has not undergone the procedure as she testified, and she's afraid she might have to.
Your Honor, there is evidence in the record, including, I believe, this court's own opinion authored by Judge Posner in Nwawokolo versus the INS, that it is not true that FGM is only done while persons are young.
But that's a very generic statement, and it's different in different regions, countries, tribes, whatever you want to say, and in the cases in which relief has been given, the testimony has become narrowed down to the particular situation. That's, I think, what the IJ was worried about here, that it had not been done here, just sort of generic statements. Everybody can agree that it's a horrendous procedure. I don't think you find any person on this panel, anyway, to think, oh, it's no big deal. It's obviously terrible, but is it something that's really going to happen here in her case such that we should overturn the IJ?
Your Honor, there's a letter in the record written by my client's mother,
yeah,
dated March 18, in which I think an inference can be drawn, a reasonable inference, that the family's insistence is the family's or clan's tradition. And the mother does tell her that, don't blame your father, this is the tradition, this is what needs to be done. Everybody has submitted in this family to that. And I believe if the IJ cannot find a reason that that letter is not authentic, and there is nothing in the record that says it is not, I think it provides the necessary corroboration for the claim, because I believe an inference can be drawn from it, because it is basically telling her that this is the procedure which you have to submit to. And yes, it doesn't come out and say in those words that someone would point to and say, aha, that is it, but I think you can draw a reasonable inference from it. And yes, we don't have a statement that says in the Yoruba clan named so-and-so, it happens after marriage, but she testified, I believe she testified credibly, that this came up after she became married. And the reason her sister, who is 18, has not suffered it is because the sister is not married, which I believe makes sense. And there is no evidence that suggests that the claim that it happens after marriage is not true. And yes, we do not have any evidence that makes that statement plainly in those terms. But I think in cases of asylum where the standard is a reasonable possibility, I think an inference can be drawn from the evidence that she is able to marshal.
It's not whether it can be drawn, though. It's whether it must be drawn at this point.
Your Honor, and the IJ pointed to what the IJ claimed were reasons to doubt her credibility. He based them on what we believe are unreliable documents, which he argued impeach my client's credibility. And if that is all that the IJ has to rely on, I think the questions he raises have been answered by our brief and the answers that we provide. Therefore, I don't believe that his reason should be upheld, because I believe we've answered the question he raises. And because of that, I believe that the BIA's order should be reversed.
Mr. Grimes.
Morning, may it please the court. James Grimes from the government. Your Honor, this case involves a petitioner who's applied for asylum, traveled to this country three times before she actually sought asylum, who once returned to her home country voluntarily, who had multiple opportunities before immigration officials, before the immigration judge, and before the board to try to make out a credible claim, which she was unable ultimately to do. This court should, for three reasons, deny this petition for review. First, substantial evidence in the record supports the immigration judge's finding that Balogun neither had an objective nor subjectively credible fear of FCM. And the record also supports the subsequent decision to deny asylum. Second, Balogun in her brief has conceded that the record does not compel reversal. Under this court's standard of review, where the record does not compel reversal, this court must affirm. And third, as to the briefing errors, as we outlined in our brief, this court should dismiss the petition for those reasons as well. Now, as to the immigration judge's decision, the immigration judge found that Ms. Balogun did not have a subjectively credible fear or an objectively credible fear. He found, in other words, that she did not actually fear FGM, and he explained why a person in her shoes would not fear FGM. Those findings are supported by several specific factors in the record. Under Elias Zacharias, therefore, this court must affirm the decision below. Initially, it's important to remember the background facts in this case. Balogun is a college-educated woman. She was 28 at the time of the hearing. She had a degree. She was married. She lived independent of her parents. She was apparently married to a man who was not seeking to force her to undergo FGM. Secondly, it's important to remember the type of persecution alleged does not change the legal analysis involved. Whether the person is alleging persecution on account of race or political opinion or FGM, she still has to meet her burden. She still has to testify credibly. She still has to fear that persecution. Now, here, the immigration judge's decision was correct because it relied on several factors that are well supported by the record, the first of which is the timing of the claim. Balogun came to this country three times before she sought asylum, and even then, when she was initially questioned about it, she did not reveal her fear.
Is it a legitimate basis for asylum if it is a, I don't want to call it a family tradition, but that's kind of the way it's been presented, that it's a family pressure and almost peer pressure from the parents, or the father at least, that his daughter has to do this, and maybe it's something tribal or ethnic or something, but that seems to be the source that the family is forcing her, or allegedly forcing her to do this. Is that a legitimate basis for asylum?
Your Honor, in order to obtain asylum, she would have to show that the persecution was going to be at the hands of the government or at the hands of a group that the government was unwilling or unable to control.
And it's the latter that these cases have come under in these countries where FGM is such a terrible problem, because even in Nigeria, in some of the states, it's not against the law, and the government takes a hands-off approach. A woman seeking help from the government in a particular case, I'm not saying it's necessarily this case, but could show that the government was completely unwilling to protect her against that kind of a bodily invasion.
That's true, Your Honor.
And so it seems to me that's where the link in theory occurs in all of these cultural custom situations.
I'm sorry, Your Honor. I believe that's correct. It's true that the background evidence in this case, as far as the country condition reports, do cut both ways, but the immigration judge interpreted that evidence, and the record does support his interpretation. It shows that Ogun State has banned FGM, that the incidence of FGM is declining, and that it is not widely practiced in urban areas. Ms. Belogan lived in urban areas. She was lived independently of her parents.
So the lowest number that I remember from the record is 30% or so. I mean, it's like decline down to that from 70 or 80 or 90%.
That's I believe that may be correct, Your Honor.
Still a lot of people.
That's true, and I don't believe the immigration judge found that FGM is not generally a problem. What he found was that it's not a problem for her, and that's really the issue in this case. And that's where her family situation comes in, as I believe was remarked earlier. Not only was her sister not subject to FGM, but she doesn't even know whether her mother was.
Well, why would she know that? I mean, I wasn't terribly persuaded by that. There are cultures in which women don't go around talking about their genitalia with each other. I mean, it seems like a very sensitive subject.
That may well be true, and if this court finds that is a compelling reason to discount the immigration judge's decision, then this court wouldn't have to reverse. But, of course, it's not the only reason on which the immigration judge relied. She's college educated. She lived independent of her parents. She lived with a man from another tribe who isn't seeking to force her to undergo FGM. There's also the other credibility issues. When first asked about whether she had a fear of returning to Nigeria, she said, "I don't know, maybe." Well, as the immigration judge said, that's not consistent with her present assertion of fear. There's also the fact that really when you strip away all the other facts in this case, she was asked at page 121 of the record if village elders had ever threatened her in order to induce her to undergo FGM. And instead of responding that they had threatened her, she said, and I quote, "It's just that I was bringing shame to the family. It's going to be on my dad." So Belogan's claim is not about persecution, which is, of course, more than mere harassment. It's about the shame that she views as being attendant to her and to her family if she doesn't undergo FGM. No one ever threatened her. No one ever forced her. No one ever tortured her or beat her in order to induce her to undergo FGM. In Yadigar Sargas, this court found that asylum is not warranted where an alien had not been detained, assaulted, or threatened. That's the case here. Under Yadigar Sargas, Ms. Belogan has not met her burden, and therefore her petition must be dismissed. It also bears noting that in her brief, she concedes that the record cannot establish whether she actually feared FGM on page 24. And in fact, she actually says it's impossible to establish whether she actually feared FGM. Well, it was her burden to establish that. And if the record does not establish whether she actually feared FGM, it certainly does not compel the conclusion that she did fear it. Under this court's standard of review, under Elias Zacharias, when that is the case, this court must affirm. And finally, I think we've highlighted the errors that are addressed in this Belogan brief. I can answer any questions about those, but I think they're adequately addressed in our brief. Thus, for the reasons I've discussed, because she's not met her burden of proof, because the record supports the immigration judge's decision, and because she has conceded the record does not compel reversal, we ask that this court affirm. Unless there are any other questions, that concludes my presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Grimes. Mr. Morgan, your time had expired, so we will take the case under advisement. Thank you. Thank you to both counsel.